Good evening. Hey, as you make your way to your seats, we're gonna talk about something that I think is just so important for us to talk about here tonight. What we're gonna talk about is this word called truth. And what is truth? What is truth? I think that this is such an important question for us to ask, because the way that we define this question, the way that we define this word, oftentimes defines our life. And so it's such an important question to ask. And I remember being in school and getting so many different versions of truth. What I want to say to you today is that there is just one truth. There is just one truth. And so if you have your Bibles here today, the only place I know where to run when it comes to questions about truth is scriptures. And so we're going to be in John chapter 18. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to John chapter 18. What's going on here is that Jesus has been arrested. It's towards the end of his life. He's been arrested. And what they've done is they've actually turned him over to this Roman overlord named Pontius Pilate. And he's on the trial for his life. And as you read the story, it becomes clear that maybe Pontius doesn't know exactly who Jesus is. I don't know exactly how much he knew about this Jesus. But one of the things that he's asking is he seems to be confused as to why they might want to kill him. Why they might want to crucify him. And so here he is, Pontius Pilate, this Roman overlord, and he's digging. He's digging for answers. He's reaching for answers. And you can just hear it in his voice as you read the story. You can just hear it in his voice. He goes to Jesus and he says, you know what, your own people, your own religious leaders, your own chief priests, they're the ones that handed you over to me. He says, what is it that you've done? Like, what have you done that your own people, your own religious people, they want to kill you? And what Jesus says to him is he essentially says, you know what, you just don't understand. You don't understand what's going on. In fact, this is exactly what Jesus says. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. Essentially, what he's saying is that they're fighting against things that they don't even know about. Because my kingdom is different than all other kingdoms. It's not like the kingdoms that you've seen. It's not like Rome. It's not like Herod. It's not like even your kingdom. My kingdom is so much different. And Pilate, he responds to this, and he says, so what you're saying is this. What you're saying is that you are a king? And again, he's just searching for answers. He's just searching for answers. And this is what Jesus says to him. Again, remember, this is Pontius Pilate. This is a Roman. This is what he says. He said, the very reason, Jesus said this. He said, the very reason I was brought into this world was to testify to the truth. That's what he says. He said, that's why I'm here. I am here to testify to the truth. And then he says this, and I want you to memorize this, because these are such great words. These are Jesus' words. He says this. He says, everyone on the side of the truth listens to me. That's what Jesus says. He says, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Those are powerful words. Those are powerful words. Did you hear it? What Jesus is saying to us here in this place at this time, what he's saying is all truth is God's truth. Because everyone on the side of the truth listens to me. Everyone on the side of the truth, they listen to the words of Jesus. All truth is God's truth, which means this: there is no truth outside of God. There's no truth outside of Jesus. And so if you are on the side of truth, you are on God's side. That is so powerful. That is so powerful. If you are on the side of truth, what you're going to do is you're going to listen to Jesus. Because here's what I find in our world today, in our society today, in our culture today, here's what they say. They say, hey, you know what? There's lots of truth. There's your truth. And there's my truth. And you can have your truth as long as you give me the freedom to have my truth, right? What they say is that there's psychological truth, the philosophical truth, there's scientific truth, there's social truth, there's historical truth, and then on here on the side, there's this thing called religious ideologies. And they say they're completely different. And I just want to tell you that that's a lie. All truth is God's truth. And if it's true, then it is God's truth. And so here's what I want to say to you. If you are seeking truth, do you know what you're seeking? You're seeking God. If you are seeking truth, you are seeking God, because He is absolute and He is truth. I love this. I love this. It's such a powerful truth. Because here's what happens. Let's say science discovers a new truth. And science they uncover this new thing. Do you know what they've done? What they've done is they've discovered what God had already done. That's all they did. They discovered the way that God created. They discovered the way that God designed. And that's all they've done is they've uncovered it. And so if science discovers a new truth, what they're actually doing is they're honoring God. And they're seeking God. And I'm tired of this narrative that there's a difference between this truth and that truth, because there's only one truth. Science and God, they are not enemies. Because God is the creator God. And if He created, all we're doing is uncovering. All we're doing is discovering. And so I want to be so clear. God has given us so many different ways that we could seek Him, that we could search Him out, that we could pursue Him. One of the things He gave us is this book right here. It's called the Scriptures. And if you're a seeker of God, I encourage you to read this book, because through this book, what God does is He reveals Himself to us. But let me just say this. He didn't stop there. God gave us this book, but He didn't stop there. One of the things He did is He gave us science, and He gave us history and philosophy, and He gave us medicine, and He gave us these incredible minds that have the power to think. God gave us a rational capacity to think. And so if we're seeking truth, if we're earnestly seeking truth, what we're seeking is we're seeking God, because it's all His. Truth begins and truth ends with God. And what's interesting to me is that for most of human history, this wasn't a controversy. It's just become a controversy in the last few years. But for some reason, people are going to tell you that God and science are opposing forces, and it's just not true. If it's truth, it is God's truth, because He's the creator. It begins and it ends with God. And I know for some of you, that might stir up some emotions. But that's okay. That's okay. That's why we're here, is to sort through that stuff. And really, my message for you today is that all truth is God's truth, and God wants you to seek truth. He wants you to seek Him. He wants you to seek truth, because everyone that's on the side of the truth is on whose side? God's side. So He's not scared of your questions. He doesn't fear the difficult questions, because He says if you seek Him, if you're seeking truth, what you're going to find is Him. The question is, are we seeking truth, or are we trying to, are we trying to justify something that we already believed? What I love about God is that He's okay with your difficult questions. Your most difficult question, He is fine with. He can handle it. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite up my student pastor at my church. He's an incredible man that I've gotten to work with for the last couple of years, mentor, a friend, a guy that quite often we sit in my office and we discuss issues like this. Matt is not scared. He's not scared of asking the difficult questions. He's also not scared of answering the difficult questions. And so I just want to invite him here to share a little bit of his story. So can we welcome Matt Wilcox?
Excellent, excellent. Me and David are such good friends, we have matching Bibles. David contacted me last night and he said, "Hey, Matt, I'm going to have to take a leak in the middle of Friday night session, so I need you to cover for me while I pee for about 10 minutes. So here I am. That's my job at the church, is to cover for David when he goes to the bathroom. My name is Matt. I'm the youth pastor at North Glen Christian Church. I am a pastor, and I got a whole lot of questions. And when I say that, I don't mean I've had a lot of questions or I used to have a lot of questions. I have a lot of questions. Adults in the room, leaders, adults, sponsors. This is time to impress the kids. Leaders, how many of you know it all? Like, you got the answers to everything in the Bible. You got all of it. There is one leader who knows it all. She's very holy. Okay, hey, pastors, sponsors, leaders. How many of you have no doubts and no questions? Kids, look at your youth pastors. For some of you, that's me. Just like you, they got questions. They have tough questions. They have hard questions. They struggle. And I guess I'm going to start back at the beginning, okay? So I was raised in the church. I was raised going to a church pretty much every Sunday of my life. And my faith in high school, earlier today, you know, we talked about this idea of building a foundation and digging deep and digging to the bedrock and building a solid foundation for our faith to stand on. When I was your age, I just hadn't dug that far. I had dug a little bit, you know, maybe like I had built on, you know, I dug a little bit through the sand, so I was better than the sand guy, but I didn't really build my house on the rock either. I was just a little down. And I had questions, and I had my doubts, and, you know, I wondered things about faith, but truth be told, I just didn't consider faith all that relevant and important to my actual life. I believed, and then there was me. And there's my belief, and here's me. And fortunately, a mentor, a leader in my life, a teacher of mine, was able to convince me that I needed to stop being so lazy and dig a little deeper. And so here's what happened. When I was maybe 17 years old, 18, 16, 17, 18, I started digging deeper. And I actually took my faith seriously, and I began digging through all of the questions and doubts that I had sort of brushed aside until then. I got to a point where I realized that I wanted to go into ministry. I wanted to go to this special thing we have called like seminary or Bible college. It's where you go to become pastors and ministers and popes and all that good stuff. And so I was going to ministry school, and I was digging deeper, and every time I dug deeper, I came with more hard questions. The further I wanted to pursue going into ministry, the more doubts I had about what I believed, the more questions I had about what I believed. It seemed like back when I wasn't that serious about faith, I didn't really have that many questions, or at least I didn't care about them. Once I took it seriously, once I was like, I'm going to be a pastor, I'm going to teach youth for the rest of my life, I'm going to be an influence in the next generation, I'm going to teach them about God, and holy crap, there is so much I realized I didn't know. And it was terrifying. It was terrifying. As I dug deeper, more doubts and more questions came up. And I got to one of my classes in college, and I had a professor who was really challenging us to ask the hard questions, like really hard questions. I was reevaluating, what do I believe about God? What do I believe about the Bible? What do I believe about Jesus? And he was challenging us to think about everything. And I got to a point where I was frank, me and a few of my classmates went up to my professor and we said, I honestly don't even know what I believe anymore. We were talking about one specific issue in the Bible that I was really struggling with understanding, and I was like, if I can't understand this, if I have no clue what I think about this passage in Scripture, I don't even know what I believe anymore. And what he said to me changed my life forever. And if I were to say one thing that you guys need to solidify before you go off into adulthood, there's one thing that you need to learn about your faith before you go into adulthood, it's what my professor told me. This is the one thing. So this morning, here's what, morning, evening, what time is it? Watch, what time is it? 7:20. This 7:20, here is what I want you to walk away with. My professor said was this. He said, it's okay if you doubt that one thing, or if you have questions about that one scripture. Don't be a window, be a web. And here's what I mean by that. A window serves many purposes. A window keeps heat and cold in and out. It keeps the rain, the wind in and out. It keeps noise in and out. If you take a baseball and you huck it at a corner of a window, and that window has a big chunk in it, it's lost its entire purpose. When you break a piece of a window, it has lost its entire purpose. It cannot be a window anymore. It is no good at doing what a window is supposed to do. But if you take a spider web and you snip one strand, what happens? Does it still catch flies? Yeah. Can the spider still climb on it? Is it still structurally sound? You clip another strand, maybe you put that strand back together, you clip a different one. Is the web safe? Let your faith be a web, not a window. God can handle your difficult questions. If you have a difficult question, if you're looking at your faith and you're like, man, I don't know what I think about this verse. This verse is really tricky to me. I'm not sure what God's trying to tell me about this. I'm not sure what I believe on this issue. My entire faith is shattered. No. Don't be a window. Let your faith be like a spider web. This is the one thing I want you to know if you go into adulthood. Let your faith be like a spider web. Be okay with not knowing the answer to every single thing. Be okay with having little questions here and there that you can think about and evaluate. And maybe you answer that one and then you read your Bible more and a new question pops up, and that's okay. So you snip that strand of the web. And then you maybe you read a little more and you pray and you put that one back together. And maybe there's this one strand that's been hanging for like 2 years. I have no idea how to put this one back together. That's okay. That is okay. Your faith is not a window. Having one little question does not ruin everything. When we look at, I know in my life, when I look at wise, mature Christians in my life, You know those heroes of faith at your church? Those guys who have been Christians for like 80 years, those old ladies who've been Christians for like 90 years? They made it this long not because they have all the answers, but because they've become okay with not having all of them. If you see the heroes of your faith, the people, the older, wiser people that you look up to, if you ask them, they will not say that they made it this far because they got all the answers. They've made it this far because they're okay with not having all the answers. They're okay with having questions. They're okay with having doubts. Let me put it like this. When we hit tough questions and we think, oh, crap, not supposed to think about that. That's a question popped into my head. That's a bad question. Good Christians don't ask these kinds of questions. And we brush it aside. What we do is we're digging for the foundation. And when we brush that question aside, we just put the shovel down and give up. When we're trying, when we're digging in our faith and we're pursuing God and a question or a doubt comes up, we're really struggling with it. We're like, you know what? Good Christians don't ask hard questions. Good Christians don't have doubts. What we're doing is we're taking that shovel and we're giving up. We're putting it in the dirt and saying, I've dug far enough. Digging in your faith means coming up with hard questions. And I'm not saying that I had hard questions when I was like training for ministry, but then I got a church job and all my questions are gone because I got the answers. I still have questions. Every day of my life, I look in scripture and I think, I don't know about this one. I still have questions. About three months ago, I got a text from my dad. And he said, hey, took mom in for a doctor's appointment, found something on her brain. Probably not a big deal, but you should just know. And in a week, my mom was dead. I got questions about that man. I got questions. My mom went from perfectly healthy to gone in 1 week. I got questions about that. I'm not okay with that. Why did that have to happen? It doesn't make sense. She was young. She's not going to get to meet her grandkids. Why did that have to happen? I don't have the answer to it. 3 months later, still grieving, still don't have the answer. But that's okay. That part of my web is snipped right now. I'm trying to put it back together. I'm trying to figure out what the answer to this is. As I'm grieving through the death of my mother, I'm trying to put that piece back together. But in the meantime, the web is still a web, and my faith is still my faith. God can handle your questions. God can handle your doubts. God can handle your human emotions and your struggles. I'm going to read a brief passage. It is brief. I'm trying to keep this short. I'm going to read a brief passage in John. I love this passage. So this is one of the times when the Pharisees and the teachers of the law are getting real mad at Jesus because Jesus is, he's breaking all the laws. Jesus is breaking all the laws of the Old Testament, and they're like, what the heck, man, Son of God? That doesn't sound like you. God gave us these laws. You guys know that happened a lot. If you don't, that happens a lot. Here's what Jesus says to the Pharisees. This is crazy. You pore over the scriptures because you think that you can find eternal life in them, but they only testify about me. Let me read that again. You pore over the scriptures because you think that they have eternal life in them, but they only testify about me. It's a weird verse. Well, here's what Jesus is saying. Your eternal life, your faith, it's not in scripture, it's in me. Our faith is in Christ. We follow Jesus. We don't find eternal life in the scriptures. We find eternal life through the scriptures, if that makes sense. Knowing what this one Bible verse means is not how we are saved. Having a relationship with Christ is how we are saved, and the Bible is how we get there. But what that means is that if there's a verse in scripture, and sometimes you flip open the Old Testament and it's like, what the heck? There's a lot of weird stuff going on here. Not knowing what that verse means is okay. Because what Jesus is saying is that knowing the answer to every single verse in the Bible is not how we have eternal life. Our faith is not in knowing all the answers. Our faith is in the Christ that scriptures point us to. It's like this. If I have a map to get to Breckenridge, Colorado, and I'm having a real hard time reading that map, does that mean I don't want to go to Breckenridge anymore? If I'm trying to get to Breck, and me and my wife are looking at this map, and we're like, this doesn't make any sense to me. I'm really confused about what it's trying to say. Am I suddenly no longer trying to get there? No, just because I have questions about the map doesn't mean that I just don't want to get to the destination still. Just because you have questions about the Bible, just because you have questions about Scripture, doesn't mean that your faith is shattered. It doesn't mean that you're not trying to pursue Christ anymore. It just means that you're having a hard time reading the map. My faith is not rooted in knowing all the answers. My faith is not built on knowing all the answers. If my faith was built on knowing all the answers, that would be a bad foundation. My faith is rooted in Christ. My faith is rooted in Christ, the Son of God, who came down, bore my sins, rose again, has given me new life, new purpose. And if I come up with questions every once in a while about Scripture, that doesn't change the fact that Jesus was the Son of God who died for me, who rose again to give me a second life. It just means that I'm a guy who has some questions. God can handle your questions. He can handle my questions. So while I'm still going through my questions, and I'm going to have until the day that I die, keep going through your questions. Having questions, having doubts does not mean that you are a bad Christian. It means that you're digging more and more every day. If you don't have questions, it means you're not digging. So long as you're digging and trying to get to that foundation, you will have questions. And that's okay, because sometimes maps are tricky to read. But that doesn't mean that we're not still trying to get to the destination. Let your faith be like a web, not a window. Thank you for your time, guys.
No need. I don't know if you guys have noticed this. There's a little bit of a difference between energy levels between Matt and I. Here's what happens. Back to that passage there in John chapter 18. Jesus says the reason why I came here was to testify to the truth. And then Jesus said, hey, you know, anyone on the side of truth, they'll listen to me. And I want you to hear how Pilate responded to that. Because the way he responded to that was with a question. He says, well, what is truth? That's where we started, wasn't it? Well, what is truth? Like, what is truth? And this is what he did. He washed his hands. And he sent Jesus to be crucified. See, that's being a window, right? Rather than a web. He just washed his hands and he said, you know what? Rather than answering the difficult question, rather than really seeking and really trying to find the answer, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to wash my hands of this and say, hey, you know what? It's not on me. It's on them. And he washes his hands and all is broken. Really what I want to do here tonight is I want to give you guys the freedom to ask your most difficult questions. I was a youth pastor for 15 years. Matt's been my youth pastor at our church for the last several years. We don't have all the answers. We really don't. But do you know what I do know? Do you know what I know about your youth pastors and your pastors and your sponsors? Here's what I know. They love you. They love you and they want to walk with you. And they want to help you seek. They want to help you find the truth. Because here's the promise. Here's the promise in Scriptures. Jesus says, if you seek him, you'll find him. That's what he says. He says, if you seek him, you'll find him. In fact, truth was so important to Jesus. You know, 78 different times in the New Testament, Jesus says something like this. He says, I tell you the truth. He didn't say, hey, here's my opinion about this. What he says is, I tell you the truth. Jesus cared about truth. And through his life and through this book, through these scriptures, what Jesus does is he reveals how life works. He reveals how his truth works. And so we want to encourage you to ask those difficult questions, to explore truth. And I believe that if you would just explore it, if you would just search for it, you will find it. In fact, this is what it says in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, it says it this way. Now I lost my notes. I should pay attention to these things. That's right, that's right. I'll take it. I'll take whatever I can get. Here's what it says in Deuteronomy. It says that when you seek him, and when you seek him with all of your heart and all of your soul, you will find him. But you got to actually seek him. It's not the blind leading the blind. It's earnestly seeking him. I'm going to close with this. Can anyone here, in fact, let's all of us here, let's do this. Point to due north. Which direction is north? Okay, we got a lot of different directions going. All right, north is this way right here. It's just slightly behind me, right? That's where north is, right? And for most of us, most of the time, it doesn't matter which way north is, does it? I mean, for most of us, most of the time, it doesn't even matter which way north is. But if you are lost, and you are in the forest, you might want to know which way north is. I just recently watched a documentary about these four women who took a rowboat across the Pacific Ocean. Just imagine this. They took a rowboat across the Pacific Ocean, and at one point, they were somewhere between the island of Hawaii and the island of Australia. I don't know if you guys know, but that's a long distance, okay? And they started to run out of supplies. But during this time, a storm rolled in, and they couldn't see the sun. They couldn't see the moon. They'd been on the ocean for 2 months, 24 hours a day rowing. They would go in shifts. And they were there rowing for 24 hours when this storm rolled in. And what they needed to do is they needed to hit this island called Samoa. Because if they missed Samoa, they'd have to row another 500 miles to go to an island called Fiji. So for most of us, most of the time, it doesn't matter which way north is. It doesn't matter which direction you're going. But if you're trying to aim towards a target, if you're trying to get somewhere, you absolutely need to know. You need to follow that arrow. In fact, this is what they had. They had this GPS system that pointed them right to Samoa and showed them the currents in the water, and they ended up hitting their destination. In the midst of the storm, you've got to follow the arrow, and the arrow is Christ. And so when life gets confusing, When your life is filled with more question marks than exclamation points, what you need to do is you just need to follow Christ. He can handle your most difficult questions. And what he says is if we would just listen to his voice and follow his voice, he will lead us home. That's what he says. We're going to break. We're going straight away. Oh, Charles is going to give us some instructions. We're going to send you guys off to youth group time here in a little bit. But what I'm encouraging you to do is ask your most difficult questions. Don't hesitate. Our God is the God of truth. He can handle it. And so go to him. Go to your leaders. Just go to them and ask your most difficult questions. Can I pray with you? Father God, you're so good. And so, Father God, move through this room and do what only you can do. Those of us who are on the side of truth, we are on your side. And so may we seek you in everything. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.